Public Media. This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're hearing Hail Columbia, which was a de facto national anthem during the 1800s. We chose it today because we're live in Springfield at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. We're especially excited to bring you today's show, our first remote broadcast since the pandemic. Coming up, we'll explore a new exhibit at the museum called State of Sound that highlights the landmarks and folkways of music in Illinois, from Chance the Rapper to John Prine. Plus, we'll talk with a historian. The Civil War all contributed to the state's musical sound. We'll also talk about the 16th president's evolving views on race and how school teachers can approach that in the classroom. But first, the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum has a new director. Christina Schutt began the job last month after being unanimously chosen by the museum's board. At age 34, backers are hoping she'll bring fresh energy to a role that's had its share of controversies in recent years, from the loaning of a copy of the Gettysburg Address to conservative personality Glenn Beck, to the multi-million-dollar purchase of a Lincoln hat that maybe wasn't Lincoln's. Suffice to say, the publicly funded museum has faced public scrutiny. Schutt, who was the first person of color to serve as director of the Lincoln Museum, relocated from Little Rock, Arkansas. There, she was executive director of the Mosaic Templars Cultural Center, which focuses on African American history. It's also a government-owned museum that's faced its own challenges. She holds two master's degrees, one in history, the other in library science and archives management. Director Schutt, welcome to the 21st. Thank you for hosting us today.
Oh, thanks for being here. We're so glad you get to be in our beautiful studio today.
Listeners, if you have a question or comment about the Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum, you can join our conversation as ever. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. So I guess my first question is, how are you liking Springfield? Welcome.
Oh, well, thank you. I love Springfield. It's kind of like a big, small town, which is great. Just getting to experience the parks, and I'm looking forward to the state fair this fall. So it's just been a wonderful transition to Illinois.
I want to ask you, how did you get into history? When in life did you know this is what you wanted to do for your career?
Well, I've always been really passionate about history. My mother used to take me to museums when I was a kid, and so I loved getting to learn about stories and just see history in sort of a real way. I was really fortunate that I had some incredible history teachers during the course of my education who helped to make history alive. It wasn't just the history you read about in textbooks, but when they would teach us about military war formations, they would take us out to the football field, line us up, and then walk down the field with cannons, right, to help make history come alive. So I think it's always been something that I've been passionate about, and it's incredible to get to spend my job every single day talking about history.
Now, you are making history, as I said, as the first person of color to be appointed to this role. I understand your grandmother, Freda Wright, integrated her university. Is that right?
She did. She, along with my great aunt, Betty Scott, were, and two other set of sisters, were the first to integrate Missouri State University in Springfield, Missouri. And she did that at a time where lots of education and things were changing. But she did it because she believed in the power of education, the power of knowledge and learning. And that's something that I continue to really hold dear.
The other Springfield, as we say here in Illinois.
The other Springfield.
I want to talk about Lincoln. This is obviously a museum dedicated to Lincoln. He was a complicated figure. His views on race evolved over his lifetime. And he's coming for a reappraisal in recent years, right? There are people who his name has been taken off of school in California, I read, particularly after the George Floyd protests last year. Can you talk about how you view this institution as a communicator of Lincoln's legacy and the way he is talked about now?
Well, I think Lincoln in some ways shows the map ahead. He was someone who, as you mentioned, evolved and changed. And just as people can evolve and change, institutions can evolve and change. We will always be a museum whose mission is focused on Lincoln and focused on Illinois history. That won't change. But what can change is the way in which we talk about it, the way in which we grapple with that history, the way in which we understand it for ourselves and our communities today. That's the kind of stuff that I'm most excited to get my teeth into.
I mean, a lot of Lincoln memory in this country is carved in marble. You know, the Lincoln Memorial, obviously the prime example, but even here in Springfield, there are examples of that. This museum has always sought to bring him down to a more human scale, I guess. You can literally walk up to him out in the lobby, or at least a wax figure of him. Can you talk about presenting Lincoln as a multidimensional person as opposed to somebody chiseled in marble on in a palace?
Yeah, well, actually, today we just unveiled a new item that we acquired in our collection, which is a letter that Lincoln wrote in response to a letter from Elihu Powell. And in it, Lincoln talks about really his commitment to public service, that he's sort of weighing his options about where he's going to serve and how he's going to serve. And I think that's one of the things that, again, humanizes Lincoln, that Lincoln, while he had these greater aspirations for higher office, for sure, he also was a man that at its heart was committed to public service, committed to improving and bettering his community. I mean, I think he's the only U.S. president that holds a U.S. patent, right? So his commitment to technology, his commitment to bettering the world around him, I think is one way in which we help to humanize him. Because we all want to do that, right? We all want our communities to be better. We want our schools to be better. We want to be better ourselves.
And he was a political strategist. I've heard you've also talk about wanting to highlight other historical figures who surrounded Lincoln. Who do you have in mind there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think some of the individuals who worked in and around the White House is something I'm really fascinated about. There's been a number of new secondary source research and primary source research that's come out in the last couple of years to highlight some of those stories. Those stories that, again, are often don't get talked about, right? We talk about the great men or the great families that occupied that space, but we rarely talk about the people who worked in that space. So I'm really excited about some of that work. I'm also excited about looking at even contemporaries or people that Lincoln knew in his lifetime, people like Frederick Douglass. One of the things that strikes me, while they had very, very different upbringings, one of the things that strikes me about both of them is that they were both men who committed to kind of self-education as a pathway forward and a pathway out of poverty and, in Douglass's case, enslavement. So I think that's something where we don't really explore that often. So I'm curious about that. I want to know more about that.
Yeah, there is a room here in the museum, I think, that was the White House kitchen, right, where you can hear sort of people.
This is
a museum that's evolved over time as well, right? There used to be a figure of John Wilkes Booth sort of looking ominously from the corner in the rotunda. That was removed at some point.
It was removed before my time, but I've made a firm commitment to not put him back into the rotunda, because one of the things that's important to me, again, having come out of an African-American history museum, but also being someone who represents and experiences African-American life and history, is that we don't honor Confederates. The plaza is a place where we put people who we respect, we admire, people like Lincoln. And to have a Confederate in that space seems sort of against what we're trying to pursue.
Is there anything else in the museum that struck you as, you know, anachronistic? It's going on, 15, 16 years old now since it opened here? You're new to it?
Well, I have gotten to take lots of great tours with the staff and hear from even our volunteers. And I think one of the things that has been challenging for people is we have a room that talks about Mary Lincoln. And Mary Lincoln was someone who experienced immense amounts of grief, right? Having her children die, having literally like her husband die next to her or be assassinated next to her. And so the way in which we talk about her is something that I hope we'll be able to explore more. At the time, the way in which people experience and process grief was very different than maybe the ways and the grace that we give people to process grief and the death of children and the death of their spouse. So being able to, again, humanize more, to talk about that it was challenging for her and that society had very different expectations about who she could be, about what it meant for her to be a mother, what it meant for her to be the wife of a president.
Let me remind listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Christina Schutt, who is the new director of the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. We are broadcasting live today from the museum, and we're taking your calls. 800-222-9455 is the number if you want to join our conversation. 800-222-9455. As I mentioned in the introduction, the Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum has experienced its share of controversies in recent years, right? From the copy of the Gettysburg Address that ended up getting the previous director fired. There's the still mysterious, as far as I know, firing of the state historian, Sam Wheeler, last year. And that Lincoln hat is looming. How was morale when you got here?
Well, I think people are excited. You know, it's definitely been a challenging year. So when you have all that stuff coupled with just the pandemic that we've all sort of been through and kind of feel like we're still going through on some level, I think it's been a really challenging year and a half. And the thing that I have been amazed by was the way in which the staff have really pulled together to continue to create new content for educators, continue to find ways to be open even as the physical space was closed. But what has been, again, just incredible to me is the way in which people have welcomed me to Springfield and into Illinois. It has been absolutely fantastic. This morning, I think somebody brought me cookies just as a way to welcome me into the space. And so I can't think of a better place I'd want to be.
Before you arrived, there was also this divorce, if you will, between the foundation, the fundraising arm of the Lincoln Presidential Library Museum, and the museum itself, which is an independent state agency for the last few years. What is the future of fundraising here in the foundation in that work that they used to do, memberships and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so I'm really excited that we'll be bringing a lot of that in-house, which I think will allow us an opportunity to have more transparency and accountability, which was not something that we had with the relationship with the foundation. Core to who I am and core to really our duty as stewards of public history and of really public memory is that people have to be able to trust us. They have to know that their collections are safe. They have to know that we're being good stewards of state tax dollars, but also the dollars that they bring in when they pay their admission. And so I'm really excited about the opportunities we have to move forward as an institution. And again, to bring some of that stuff in-house, to tighten that up and to make it better for our members, make it better for the community.
Did you have any reservations about taking the job here, given all the drama that's been here in the past and political machinations and that sort of thing?
Well, you know, as you know, I was the fifth director appointed to Mosaic Templars in 8 years. So I understand a little bit about the drama that you come into. I think if I had any reservations, it's more of that sort of imposter feeling of, you know, who am I to be the person who gets to shepherd Lincoln's legacy? Who am I the person who gets to lead this great historical and state treasure? So it's pretty neat to be chosen, but it's pretty neat to be able to do that. You know, I'm the proud descendant of formerly enslaved women. And so to be in that position to now get to talk about someone who was so central, his work on the 13th Amendment, right, freed my family members. And so to be able to talk about that is pretty special.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up imposter syndrome. I mean, I think that's something that a lot of people experience. It doesn't get talked a lot. How do you overcome that?
Well, you know, for me, I try to show up every day for myself, for the people in the community, for my staff, for our volunteers. I find that just showing up is sometimes half the battle, right? And showing up with your full self, that the only thing I know how to be is me. Right, is to be the weird historian girl who hung out at museums and loves books and libraries and is passionate about culture and community. That's the only thing I know how to be. So if I can do that and move us a little bit further along the road, then I think I'm doing okay.
Now, I know you've been here less than a month. You said you've gotten some tours with the staff. Do you have a favorite artifact or exhibit or display in the museum so far?
Yeah, so I've gotten to see a couple of the things in the collection. I have to say one of my favorite pieces is we have a book from, I believe it's 1926, and it was the colored directory, so the African-American business directory for Sangamon County, for Springfield. And that's pretty neat. So in my own kind of research and learning and still learning about my family's history, that was a resource I used. You know, my family's not from Springfield, Illinois. They're from Springfield, Missouri. But Springfield, Missouri had a similar directory. So I immediately related to it as a resource to learn a little bit about my family members who I didn't know growing up, who had died before. Before I was born. So I think that kind of stuff. And I got to get an amazing tour from our engineers and facilities folks yesterday. And so we actually got to crawl around in the scaffolding of the building, which again, the history geek in me was totally, I just thought it was really cool that I'm like floating above the White House.
All right, last question. We've only got about 30 seconds here. The producers and I have been having an argument this morning about the horseshoe, the Springfield Institution of the Horseshoe sandwich, so-called sandwich. Have you tried a horseshoe yet?
I haven't. So all the volunteers have told me all their favorite places. So I feel like if I go someplace, I'll like pick the wrong one. I get very nervous about these things.
Or you can take my approach and live here for 16 years and never eat horseshoe once. So, all right. Christina Schutt is the new director of the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. We're broadcasting live from there in Springfield. Director Schutt, thank you so much for being with us and hosting us today.
Oh, thank you for being here.
Listeners, coming up, we're going to be hearing from a Lincoln historian at the museum. That's after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us.